Recently, Supreme Master Qinghai graciously allowed our association members to gather for an international seminar. It was a joyous occasion as Master and disciples reunited to meditate and pray for peace. During this precious time, Supreme Master Qinghai also spoke of the teachings of past masters and answered the spiritual questions of our association members. The following is the continuation of a story of an Indian saint told by Supreme Master Qinghai with the theme, God is Always Inside, which took place on August 26, 2008 during the International Seminar.
We were talking about Guru Amardas, who was already 72 years of age when he met his master. And his master is who else but his own brother next door. All this time, waited until he's 72 years old, doesn't even know where the God-man lives. Because most people take things for granted. In India, I knew one of the master. He never let any disciple stay longer than 6 months. So anyway, this is a typical things of the mind. Whatever is too near, we cannot see very well. And whatever is easy, we think is not valuable. Suppose some stone would be as rare as diamond, then we'll be paying for it more than diamond. And I heard that they collected diamonds, a lot of them, but they hide them first. So it's not in abundance, because if it is in abundance, maybe people will want it cheaper. Then how come Guru Angad, even though he's his brother, but why do you think he gave him initiation at the age of 72? Most of the time, 60, 65 is the maximum. Tell me, anybody knows why so old can still get initiation? Huh? Oh, the wise Buddha sitting there? Sincerity? Well, everybody is sincere at that age. I'm sure he knows what he wants already. If at that age you still dilly-dally about whether you should get initiation to save yourself or not, I don't think we can ever be sincere anymore. Huh? At that time you should be very lucky if somebody give you initiation, sincere or not.
Family member.
Family member? Are there such thing in a guru's house? No. No family member stuff. Even his daughter want to see him and had to wait until he calls. And even already feeling adventurous due to the sincerity of that old man, she still say, you stay here, I go get his permission first. So the master must have been very strict. Yeah. Well, that's the only thing to really keep the disciple in discipline, you know? Because we are so unruly, we get used to with being unruly like a horse without direction, already running all over like a wild horse already. And if you come to a guru and your guru also say, oh, never mind, do what you want, then you never do anything. Yeah? You go to the beach, you come home, you sleep, and then you go eat, you go back, sleep again. You will not meditate that much.
Maybe his inner level is high.
Inner level is high? Okay, perhaps. But that's not it, yeah?
Destiny?
Oh, well, maybe. What else?
He's already trained.
Trained? By whom?
By experience. Life experience.
Life experience? Oh, God, it does take a long time until 72. Goodness sake. Life experience.
Been yearning for an answer?
Aren't we all? Even the people are yearning, but 72, they're 72, no?
Maybe he's already a vegetarian and follows the food
back. Ah, yeah, that would be it, I guess, yes. Because that's the minimum requirement, no? Yeah. And mostly when people are too old, it's difficult for them to adopt vegetarian diet. Maybe cannot. And in India, it's not the same. He can drag his old body from Punjab all the way up to the pilgrimages, and 20 of them. So he could sit long also, I guess. He's healthy. He has been vegetarian all his life. Indian, many of them are vegetarian. Majority. Until later on, we have other kind of religions coming, so people became less vegetarian people. The tradition has been a little bit wavering. Otherwise, before, most Indian people are vegetarian. So he must have been vegetarian all his life. And he's such a healthy guy, climbing 20 pilgrimages. And all the time, he's living nearby his brother, who's a God-realized person, and he could not realize it. And his nephew's wife always reciting something, and he has never paid attention, reciting the holy scripture. And he has never paid attention until then. So I guess his time is up, and what a long time he has to wait. You lucky, how old are you? 47? You look like 20. So young, no wrinkle, nothing. Yeah. Good skin. I've seen you for 20 years now, and she looked the same like yesterday. You practice well, you stay young long. Before you came here, there were two Taiwanese came in here, before I even came. So I came and see them. Everybody tried to help in different way. The guys who know electricity, check out the sockets and all that. And the guys who know how to connect to television, do climbing on the roof, setting the disc. Everybody's doing something. And make the road, plant the trees, and buying stuff. Everybody helped, so it gone quickly. Now, these two gentlemen, one of them, of course I know them long time already, almost since the beginning in Taiwan mission. So we were talking, joking, you know, like who is young around here. And then we were running to do something. And then he began to breathe a little bit harder. I say, "What's up, young boy?" He say, "I'm 74 already." Of course, I must know that, but I forgot. I forgot how time flies. And I knew him, like, almost 20 years or something. At that time, he's only 50-something. And now he's 74, I can't believe it. He doesn't look 74 at all. Of course, he's a little bit more developed over here, like most of the old men. But I couldn't believe he's 74 already. He looked just like before. I can't believe it that he's 74. Still look very healthy, good skin, pinky, and do a lot of stuff. And some of the Vietnamese in L.A., when I met them again, you know, last time, they say they're 70-something. I said, "What? Really?" Because she doesn't look like that. It's impossible to tell. So I said, "My God, what the secret?" And she say, "I meditate very well, Master." She said, very diligently. This story, it's about a girl who fell into the house of prostitution. Just to let people know that no matter where you are, if you are a saint, you are a saint. And that we should not judge a saint for where they are or what they appear to do. Sometimes they appear to be like this, like that, or appear to do this, to do that. But in their soul, they are clean like the lotus in the mud. There was a great, renowned saint, a lady saint. Her name is Rabia. She was very beautiful when she was a young girl. And because of her beauty, she was at one time abducted by thieves who sold her to the owner of a house of prostitution, where she was expected to do as every other woman living in that same house. On the first night in her new surrounding, a man was brought to her room, and she immediately entered into conversation with him. She said, "Ah, it is good to see such a nice young man. Please make yourself comfortable in that chair while I pray a little. If you like, you may also pray with me." Go in the prostitute house. "Pray with me." You think the man still have any mood after that? She does know what to do. The young man was surprised. Of course, he didn't expect such an attitude from such a place like that. So he was very surprised. But he knelt down on the floor beside Rabia, and both of them prayed for some time. This is India. And no matter who you are in India, if you are an Indian, you brought up from childhood already to know something about God, about prayers, no matter what religion. In India, up to date, most religion, they live side by side together and has no problem. The reason they have any problem, maybe not always due to themselves, but due to some outside influences. Some people want to make a profit from some turbulence for whatever their convenience or whatever their interest. And some people are naive and listen to them, and then the fight between brother broke out. It's similar everywhere, it's like that. It started very small somewhere, and then it become bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more people fight, the more both sides die or wounded, then the more of escalation of the hatred between them. And then it will just continue like that. This is India. So it was very good that she behaved like this, and even the men enter in that house, but they would listen. After the prayers, Rabia got up and said, "I am sure you will not mind if I remind you that you must die one day." The guy came in for pleasure. And what did he have to do? First, he has to kneel there. His knees already tired. And then now he has to remember that he will die one day. What a pleasure. And she continued, "To be fair to you, it is only right that I tell you that the sin you have in mind will lead you into the fires of hell." Oh, it's getting worse all the time. Poor guy, he had tried to forget before he came in, and now she aired it all out. "Please, for your own sake, consider if you wish to commit the sin and thus jump into the flaming inferno, or if you would prefer to avoid this fate." So the man is already like the instant noodle in the boiling water. So he was very soft and very, very obedient, kind of. So he said to her, "Oh, good and pious lady, you have opened my eyes." And the young man was surprised and said thus. And he continued, "Which always before were closed to the meaning of this sin. I promise earnestly never to visit a house such as this again."
It was a pleasure to have you with us today for Between Master and Disciples. Tune in on Monday for part two of the Indian Saint's story told by Supreme Master Qinghai. Please stay tuned for Animal World, our co-inhabitants, up next, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May Providence grace your life with tranquility and divine love.